I was telling Vida, as I was watching everybody put up these nice little things, they wanted me to come in pajamas. I couldn't do it, girls. I'm sorry. You know, but I thought, Lord, I have nothing to put up there except this heart that after a while we'll share about. But Vida and I were walking out, and I'm not related to you either. And I'm. This is so awesome, girls, just so awesome. Because God said when it comes to the bedroom, there's so many things about that bedroom that can be negative. Sickness takes place in the bedroom. Sometimes a lack of intimacy takes place in the bedroom. Sometimes punishment, you go to your room, amen? It can be a place of negativity. But God spoke to my heart and he said, this heart that God has for you, there's no negativity. He wants to touch you in a way that no man can ever touch you. He is in love with you. He is so desperately in love with you. His bedroom is a place of love. It's just flat out a place of love. And that's where he's going to invite you in today. Amen. And so, what do we usually do in this room? We sleep. We get dressed. It's a place we go when we're sick. In fact, we were just sick, and that's where I spent half the time last week. It can be a hiding place where if company comes, we quickly throw everything in the bedroom and shut the door. Amen? It can be a place of intimacy, and I love that word I learned, into me see. Intimacy, into me see. It can be some of the hardest place of totally yielding ourselves. It can be a quiet place for prayer. It can perhaps be a place that's ours alone, that we just, when we just need to be alone. It's called a bedroom because of one piece of furniture that's the main part. And what is that? The bed. Amen. The Bible has a lot to speak about the bed. And the Bible speaks of it's a place of peace and sleep for us. That's what God wants for us. It's a place of healing and health and wholeness where that can occur. It's a place of comfort. God wants it to be a place of comfort. It's a place of intimacy with our Lord. It's a place where we meditate on the Lord. That's a new one, isn't it, guys? And it's a place where God gives a song. I wasn't going to say anything about meditate on the Lord, but did you know that for the Jewish person, they start their day at nighttime? They think about the Lord when they go to bed so they're ready for the day ahead. Isn't that neat? They don't think about, oh, I got to do this. I got to make the matzo balls and all this jazz. They think about the Lord and meditate on him and recall. Is that a good thing or is that a bad thing? Is that no? So I want to look at two out of the six things I just said. God wants our hearts, the bedroom of our hearts, to be a place of sleep and of peace. And Psalm 48, 4, verse 8, it says like this, I will both lay me down and sleep, for thou, O Lord, maketh me dwell in safety. I learned the King James, I'm old. But why would we lay our heads down in peace and sleep? Why would our heart be at peace? Too often it's like that song when we lay down, amen? But God wants it a heart of peace. We lay down because he alone makes it a safe place. If it's the bedroom of your heart and your heart is all wrought up, only God can make that a safe, secure place for you. Psalm 127:2 says, it's a vain thing for you to rise up early and to sit up late and to eat the bread of sorrows. And that word is anxiety. Why? Because he gives you sleep. It's one of the most valuable things that he gives you. And what does that have to do with the bedroom of our heart? It all depends on my heart condition when I lay down on that pillow. What do I know about him? What have I stored up about him? Do I recall his faithfulness or do I start doubting him, you know, and questioning, you know, all and rehearsing all, like I think it was Leslie that was talking about the stain of my sin or regrets of the past. To just stop here for a moment, the psalm says like this, I will take the cup of your salvation and I will drink it. And too many times we have a cup filled with regrets. And that's what we drink in the nighttime. that cup of regrets. We need to dump that out and take the cup of salvation when we go to bed and think what God has done. So what's the condition of your heart right now as we sit in this room? Is your mind focused on, because we're almost at the end, is it focused on things back home? Is it focused on, gee, I hope there's not too much traffic and I hope we don't get home too late? Have I got everything I came with? Amen? I'm tired. Maybe I won't want to go to church tomorrow. Be a nice time to stay home. Mm-hmm. I just haven't been feeling well lately. Sure hope I don't have the flu. Oh, I forgot to get milk at the store. That means I've got to stop before I go home. What's on your mind right now? Perhaps it's more serious than that. You're going to have to walk back in on life when you leave this place. And perhaps you're dreading the time as it goes by, because life for you back home is not a place of peace. Perhaps you've already got into next week's thinking about your job and what faces you next week. How will I ever get done with the things that need to be done? Perhaps you've heard some news while you were here, and it's not good news. It'll be the condition of your heart when you lie down in your bed tonight, after you've been and heard all these things. David said like this in Psalm 94:19, "In the multitude of my anxieties within me, in my heart, what's going to calm him down? Your comforts delight my soul." Amen? Women, we are known for anxiety and anxiousness and worry and fear. And if we have nothing to worry about, we'll pick the news and start worrying about that, you know, or we have a neighbor who's given us a problem. We can always find something to be anxious, fearful, and worried about. But Jesus said, and David said, "I'm in the multitude of all that. Your comforts delight my soul." It's where am I going to focus? Where is my focus? God's comforts, God's consolations, God's empathy will bring you to a place of delight, a place of peace and calm. As you sit in here right now, Jesus understands. He's already been where you are. He is able to console you and bring a sense of calm into your heart. As I look out on you, all you ladies look nice and calm. But Jesus knows things are going on inside this little ticker of yours. But he wants us to live at peace. Some of us are not healthy because we don't live in a place of peace. Hallelujah. We need to focus on him. We need to cast all our care on him because he cares for you. I heard a pastor say once, "Fear and anxiousness and worries and concerns aren't necessarily wrong. They're part of life. It's what we do with them that makes the difference." We start getting ready for bed in our innermost being before ever we lay our head on the pillow. David said like this in Psalm 139, 23, and 24, "Search me, O Lord, and know my anxieties. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." I modernized that, and I said, "Look inside my heart, Lord. Know and understand what is causing these anxieties, these worries, these fears. Some of them are very real, Lord. But in the midst of all my thoughts, in the midst of all my anxiety, in the midst of all my worry and fear, be sure and show me if there is anything wrong between you and me. Show me if there's anything wrong in my thinking. Show me if there's any place where I'm justifying myself. Show me any place if I'm trying to be all things to all men and is causing me to be fretful and fearful and have a sense of failure in my life. Is there any place where I'm constantly opening up the wound and never letting you heal me? Is there any place where I'm trying to be a man pleaser rather than a God pleaser? Whatever it may be, Lord, show me, search me, and I'll repent." Amen. Realize that God never slumbers nor sleeps. Psalm 121, 3b through 8 says, "He who keeps you will not slumber. He, behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep." The Lord is your keeper. Amen. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will preserve you from just a little bit of evil. In our world today, the Lord will preserve you from all evil. And you can look at me and say, Betty, I see the news. I see what's happening to Christians. Amen. All over the world. We have no idea how God is intervening in their life in the midst of that trial. God says like this, that I will preserve you from all evil. When he says that, that's what he means. He doesn't want us looking for what about this over here, and what about this over here, and what about this over here. We take him at his word. Amen? Amen? He preserves me from all evil. It says like this, he will preserve your soul, your mind, and your will and emotions. He will keep them in a good place. Amen? He will keep them in a good place. The Lord will preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Jesus said in John 14:27, I love this, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled. Neither let it be afraid. If Jesus said that, suppose Jesus were in this room right now and he looked at you women and he said, don't let your heart be troubled. Don't let your heart be afraid. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. That word peace means it's a state of rest and quietness and calmness. It's a place of absence of strife. Ooh. It's a place of tranquility. It's a place of sense of well-being. And Jesus said, in the midst of that, I can do that for you. And then Jim Cimbala said this. I love this. I love this. It's so simple, girls. He said, did you know Jesus left two things in that verse? He said, peace I leave with you. And then Jesus said, my peace I give to you. So he said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. How did Jesus walk in this world? In the midst of fighting with the Pharisees, in the midst of his family thinking he was beside himself, in the midst of constantly having to face, woe are you, Pharisees, woe to you, Chorazin, woe to you, having to face Pilate, amen, having to face the cross, having to face the disciples constantly saying to them, you of little faith, you of little faith. Those that were closest to him, yet he said, my peace. He walked in peace all the time. So he said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Do you believe it? Do you believe it? Can you receive it? That's the deal. Jesus has been spoken to my heart. We know it. We read it. Can you receive it? Amen. Can you receive that into your heart that in these days, girls, in the times where things are going to be tough now and they're going to be tougher, and you're going to hear that from Pastor. God never said there'll be no persecution, did he? He said no tribulation, amen, no wrath. But he said in the midst of that, we can walk in a peace that the world cannot give. That's the kind of peace he wants for the bedroom of your heart. That's what he wants there. So when you put your head on the pillow, my peace, amen, amen. So there's no need to stay awake and fears and anxieties and worries and cares. God is on duty. He is watching over you. God himself gives you peace. Don't be like Betty Driebus when you have situations that are unresolved, where you say to yourself, if I'd said this, maybe this would happen. If I said this, I know what I'll do. You know, amen? Amen? You rehearse sins. Oh, God, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. I never, you know, how many times have I said I'm sorry for the same sin over and over? I appreciate so much what Leslie said about the stain is washed away. Amen? Jesus carried it all. It's gone. It's gone. That's those things, girls, we need to know in our heart where we, sometimes we need to speak out loud to the enemy of our soul and say, get thee out of here, you know, hit the road, Jack. You know, really, that's what I say to him. I don't even like to call his name. Hit the road, Jack. Don't come back no more. Jesus has taken care of this. Amen? Jesus has taken care of this. Amen? Now, the next thing I want to talk to you about, the six things, is he gives us a song in the night. I know that for a fact, and I have to tell you a funny story. David wrote this song that it goes, It's that one where it says, Jesus, I will follow you. Jesus, I will obey you. The voice of Jesus, I will follow the voice. I will break through the noise. I will follow the voice of Jesus. Amen. And then at the end it says, I will obey. And so Jesus and I have a funny relationship. We have a little we have a little sense of humor in there. And so I woke up singing that song, and I'm in the kitchen making my coffee, and I'm going, I will follow the voice, you know, and I'm going to obey. And so Jesus said like this, I don't want you going to retreat. The ocean is going to do something terrible. And so I just told him I'm going to obey him, right? So I went like this, that's impossible, Lord. I have to go to retreat. Do you ever do that with, and he just, with a sparkle in his eye, I mean, you have to have my imagination. But with a sparkle in his eye, oh, yeah, I will follow the voice. I will break that. But that's Jesus in my relationship. That's how he speaks to me. But it's in a song. He is the most joyful God you will ever know. He is the most filled. He's filled. Worship and praise fill his temple in heaven above. Jack Hayford said once, when the angels cry, holy, holy, holy is the Lord, and they bow down like this, and when they rise up, they see a new facet of him, and they go, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. Every time they bow down, there's a new facet that they see of our living God. He is so big and so vast and so wonderful that he would give us a song. And even in the song, give us joy in our heart. Amen. And he's not this rough scallion God that, well, he can be tough when you do the wrong thing. But but he's a God that loves you. He's a God that wants to give you this song. Job 35:10 says, but no one says, where is God my maker who gives me a song in the night? Maybe perhaps you're sitting here now and going, well, Betty gets a song. How come I don't get a song? Well, God, your maker's right here. And I'm praying tonight when you lay on this bed, one of Rachel's and Michelle's song comes to your mind. And you sing that. Sometime you're going to have to say to God, I need to go to sleep. The song gets louder and louder in your heart. But it's because he wants you to pay attention to what he's saying to you. Amen? And Psalm 42:8, and I love this verse, has become a life verse for me. Psalm 42:8, the Lord will, he will command his loving kindness in the daytime. So when the sun started, before the sun even peeked through the clouds, God had already commanded his loving kindness toward us today. And then in the night, it says like this, in the night, your song will be with me, a prayer to the God of my life. Amen. Psalm 72:6 says like this, I will call to remembrance my song in the night. So I will follow the voice. I will break through the noise. I will follow the voice of Jesus. And you'll go around in your kitchen, and you'll go around in your living room, and you'll go around in your bathroom, and you'll go around in your laundry room. I have followed the voice. Yes, yes, Lord. Amen. Do you think your hubby would like to be around a woman like that? I will follow the voice. Amen. 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 I remember when this song was like a tree, like a tree. I'm like a green olive tree in the house of the Lord. Well, one woman had brought her mother to church that morning, and this man was walking through the halls singing, I'm a tree, I'm a tree, I'm like a green olive tree. And that woman said, I don't know who he is, but he thinks he's a tree. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. He gives you a song not just for the night, but it carries you through the day. And pay attention to those songs. Charles Spurgeon said this, night is one of the greatest blessings men and women enjoy. We have many reasons to thank God for it. Yet night is to many a gloomy time. There is pestilence that stalks in darkness. There's terror by night. There is a dread of robbers and of sudden disease. With all those fears, the timid know when they have no light with which they can discern objects. Night is a time of terror and alarm to most men and women. Yet even in the night, it has its song. And we may have many a night of sorrow, a night of persecution, a night of doubt, nights of bewilderment, nights of anxiety, nights of oppression, nights of ignorance, nights of all kind which press upon our spirit and terrify our souls. But blessed be God, the Christian can say, my God gives me a song in the night. Amen. I wanted to stop here too. Think about Peter in the midst of guards, taking into the inner prison, and he's got a whole battalion of soldiers guarding him. What is Peter doing? He's sleeping. Do you know why he's sleeping? He had a word from the Lord. When you're an old man, they will bind you and take you where you do not want to go. Peter was still young. Amen? So he could go to sleep and say, I don't know, Lord, how you're going to handle this, but I'm going to sleep. Amen? And I thought about, you know, I thought, oh, girls, God, Jesus slept. Amen? Jesus slept. That's not the shortest verse, but Jesus slept. Now, this is my questions for you. Do you believe that this is what God wants for you? That he wants you to have peace and sleep? Do you believe that God wants to give you a song in the night? Are you listening for it? Or are you hearing mom's song that we just heard at the beginning of our study? Because that's our song, amen? But are you hearing God's song for you? All will depend on the condition of your heart. All will depend on the bedroom of your heart, what you know about him, what you believe about him. It's one thing, girls, to read this book. And you can read this from now until doomsday and say, I know this Bible. When I was in the Lutheran church, I was raised in a Lutheran church. I went to Lutheran school. I went to Lutheran high school. And I learned this word. But you know what? I could kill you with it. Because I never had the heart of God behind it. If you would ask me at a certain time in my life, are you having problems with your children? I would say, train up that child the way he should go. Are you having problems with your finances? Well, are you tithing? Amen? This word comes across from this heart, the heart of a God who loves you. It comes from a heart of a God who will never, ever lie to you. We've all had people that have lied to us. We have all had people who have broken our hearts. We all have people where we have built up walls because we're not going there again. We're just not going there again. But this God, this heart right here says, you can trust me. You can trust me. And I want to say to you with everything that's in me, the message that God put on my heart long before Laura ever asked me is, are we people of belief or are we people of unbelief? And it isn't a critical word because he challenged his disciples over and over again, where is your faith? Where is your faith? This is meant to be taken word for word, line upon line, precept upon precept. And you won't taste and see that the Lord is good until you believe in your heart of hearts. God is good. God is good. Amen. Now I want you, if you will please, open up your package. And it contains, we all stand and will you take that heart? And this is what I want you to do with it. I want you to take it and wrap it around you. Just wrap that heart of love around you. Wrap that heart of love around you. I had no... Amen? Wrap it around you, girls. Wrap it around you. Sometimes I handed this out at my Bible study, and I said to the girls, sometimes you can sit on the... lay it on the floor and sit on it. Just sit on it. I need to sit in the middle of the heart of God for me. Amen? Wrap God's love around you. It's an object lesson. But this is what I want us to do. Will you pray with me, please? Lord, we repent of our unbelief. Say that with me. We repent of our unbelief. We repent of not knowing you like we should. We repent of not knowing you like we should. We repent of a lack of intimacy. We repent of a lack of intimacy. We repent for trying to find comfort someplace else beside you. We repent of trying to find comfort someplace else beside you. We repent of our failure to meditate on you. We repent of our failure to meditate on you. We repent of trying to handle things on our own. We repent of trying to handle things on our own. We repent for not trusting you in your complete love for us. We repent of not trusting in your complete love for us. We repent of our anxiety and our worries and our fears. We repent of our anxieties, our worries, and our fears. We repent, Holy Spirit, for quenching you and grieving you. We repent, Holy Spirit, of quenching you and grieving you. Our teacher, the one who brings to our remembrance all that Jesus has ever spoken, the one who brings to our remembrance all that Jesus has ever spoken, our comforter, our guide, everything we would ever need, God himself with us. Now, if you'll bow your heads, please. God, fill our hearts with you and who you are. Open up our hearts to understand, our ears to hear the song in the night that you would give to us. Help us to know you, to focus in on what will bring us peace to our souls, and that's you, Lord. Father God, I just stretch my hands over these women, and I bless them in the name of Jesus. I ask, Father God, any place where there is enemy activity, any place where the accuser of their soul has risen up, and that's the voice they're hearing, we ask in Jesus' name that voice would be silenced now in Jesus' name, and they would hear your voice saying, this is the way, walking in it. I pray for your perfect peace to flood this room, Lord, a peace that passes all our understanding, that peace of Jesus. Help us to walk in that, Lord. And God, I look forward to seeing the girls saying, I got my song. I got my song in the night. And I bless them, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.